Okay, so let's start. It's now 2 minutes over 10, so that has been enough time for people to join. So welcome everybody, and thanks for coming. This is the second time that we meet in this Linux Future Committee. I just wanted to remind you that as for the last meeting, we are recording the meeting and that the recording will be made available as well in the Indico event. And other than that, we can just move into Ben's presentation, which will be covering all the items in the agenda that we have today. Okay, so the floor is yours, Ben.
Thanks, Manuel. So just to start the meeting off, I just wanted to remind everyone of the committee mandate. So we provide a structured working group with the focus of reviewing scenarios, understanding impact on the current Linux usage, and providing impact on future roadmaps for a Linux operating system that satisfies the needs of the CERN community. Now, between the last Linux Future Committee meeting and today, there was a bit of things happening in the community, but I'll get to that in a moment. We'll just talk quickly about the short-term plan, which is to make Stream 8 a production operating system at CERN. So this hasn't changed much from the last time we spoke. We have the Stream 8 repositories mirrored at LinuxSoft. We have Docker and OpenStack images available. LockMap is now available for CentOS Stream 8 for the desktop use case. And most Puppet managed infrastructure is now aware. So when I say infrastructure, I mean modules are aware of Stream 8. We're still lacking some support specifically in the monitoring framework. So we're waiting on this before we announce Stream 8 as production ready. However, it's very close. So we expect to make an announcement on that shortly. So in terms of events that have happened between now, the last Linux Future Committee and now, we had HEPIX last week, where I presented Linux at CERN. The slides and the recording are available here. Red Hat also had a Q&A session effectively titled Red Hat Products and Programs. And you can view the recording at that link. And there was also a Birds of a Feather Linux discussion where the slides and recording are available here. So what I can share with you is what we know today, which is that future Linux distributions at CERN will be RPM based, as the efforts required to retrain and retool are too high to move away from RPM, at least in the short term. Who knows in 5 or 10 years down the road, but at least in the context of the next operating system or the operating system to be used for run 3. Future Linux distributions will need to support both architectures, x86, 64, and Arch 64. It's probably inevitable that we'll have to support multiple list Linux distributions to satisfy all use cases. We will be using CentOS Stream ourselves, and it will be used by CentOS special interest groups. So we would push users to use Stream if at all possible. But we understand that the life cycle of Stream doesn't fit all use cases. And CERN is working with Fermilab and other scientific sites to align with common roadmaps. This is especially important when we have discussions with Red Hat, so we portray a common message. So I wanted to show how I see things in the short term, or when I say short term in this context, let's say run 3, if you can call that short term. And for that, I need a bit of a legend. So these acronyms should make sense to you, except for maybe EL. EL is Enterprise Linux, and Enterprise Linux can mean either the commercial Red Hat Enterprise Linux or a Red Hat Enterprise Linux rebuild or clone, such as Rocky Linux, Alma Linux, or Springdale. And the orange and black lines would signify a reinstall, as if you're moving from a 7 release to an 8 release, or an 8 release to a 9 release. So if we look at a potential future, you can see that as we stand today, CentOS Linux 8 end of life occurs at the beginning of run 3. CentOS Stream 8 is similar to CERN CentOS 7 in the sense that its end of life finishes during the run. And then if we look in our crystal ball, we can determine that Enterprise Linux 8 and CentOS Stream 9 should be available for consumption at CERN around the first quarter of 2022. These dates are CERN specific. Obviously, CentOS Stream 8 has been available since 2019, but it's only being made available now for usage at CERN. And likewise with the Enterprise Linux 8 beta, this is what we assume will be the timeframe of when this product will be usable at CERN. So the next slide is a little bit more information here. This details potential upgrade paths from existing distributions to the future. So CC7 to either Enterprise Linux 8, Enterprise Linux 9, or Stream 9. And the red indicates that that would be running outside of maintenance, outside of support. So that would only be applicable for systems that are not on the GPN and that are firewalled accordingly. And then essentially the same upgrade paths for CentOS Linux 8. However, CentOS Linux 8 on point 4 is interesting because we don't have the orange and black line. As this is all the same family, it's an 8 family, we can upgrade from CentOS Linux 8 to Stream 8 to Enterprise Linux 8 just by changing the repositories and performing DNF distro syncs. So this could be a very interesting option for many areas at CERN. But you'll see that the climate is quite confusing. There's a lot of changes happening in between run 3. So it's not ideally timed for CERN. So from the past Linux Future Committee meeting, we had a CodeEMD document with many concerns listed. There was a lot of text, very verbose. I've tried my best to condense these to form common concerns and to have them in a more readable format, in a more presentable format. So I'll just go through these, and there'll be time at the end of this talk to go over these concerns in more detail, or to append and add additional concerns if any have been missed, or if any have come up between now from the first future meeting until now. So the first is the most obvious, that CC7 end of life occurs during run 3. Everyone is aware that the security team will tolerate some non-GPN hosts to run through this period. There's been rumors that run 3 might be extended into 2025. So a solution needs to be found for these hosts, and we have several options in this regard. The next operating system is used exclusively if a decision is made before the end of this year, so it's ready for run 3. Experiments remain on CC7, however, mitigate risk by deploying reverse proxies in front of infrastructure that is accessible from the GPN. Additional exemptions are requested from IT security, or CERN IT rebuilding bug fix packages from Red Hat under the extended lifestyle cycle support program and releasing them internally. This option will require buy-in from IT management and extra human resources allocated to IT. Likewise, the RHEL 7 end of life occurs during run 3 as well. ITDB are running several critical databases that need to continue past this lifespan. So they will need to have a extended lifecycle support license for each host. We'll need to know how many hosts that will be so we can negotiate this cost with Red Hat. On the stream side as well, its end of life also occurs during run 3 for stream 8. And because of that, maybe it's not an obvious choice as a Linux distribution to use during run 3, as it has a similar end of life as CC7. But please remember, it brings new software versions, new kernel versions, a lot of improvements there, and it can also be upgraded at a later date to Enterprise Linux. So we have a concern that the next distribution needs to be made as soon as possible. This is requested from at least CMS and Alice in order to adequately plan for run 3. BE, SEM, EDL report that the Red Hat kernel and tools library and compilers are missing or old or do not support new hardware. This group is the only group that's reported this. So I'm interested to hear if there are other groups that share the same concerns, and we can tackle that as we go along. On the system on chip side,
questions now?
I think we'll do questions at the end.
Okay, sorry.
On the system on chip side, the preferred operating system is to be the same as the general operating system. This would simplify management and security updates. That's requested by several groups within CERN. An RPM distribution is preferred. And a one-year overlap between supported releases is preferred. Support for remote installation. And distributions should be able to run both Oracle clients and WinCCOA. So that was the condensed version of the concern. So I think we can pause the presentation midway here and answer any questions or start listing anything that we've missed.
Hello, Federico speaking. So I'm representing the BIM department, and I'm the one who wrote about the kernel, compiler, and software being old. So just to make it clear, the statement is not that it's old in general. It's old now because it gets old with time. So at the moment of release of CentOS 7, it was 8 years ago, and then nothing changed meanwhile. So this means that we should have more frequent upgrades to follow up the development, because if we take 10 years to upgrade the kernel, the compiler, and so on, then what happens is that people will just build their own compiler, build their own Java virtual machine, and the kernel, and all the other tools.
Okay, I understand. Many other sites already, I mean, external to CERN, do similar things anyway. If newer GCC compilers are required, then they're built and provided on a shared file system. So this is something we can assess over time. As you say, at the moment, the software in CentOS Linux 8 is okay, but it might not be for tomorrow. So I think as the Linux Future Committee continues through time, we should assess these needs and determine the solutions to those problems as time goes on.
Yeah, Roberto from Alice, slide 15. Alice cannot remain on CC7 as well as CNS. So you have two users that have to move to something else.
Yep, understood. So before continuing, are there any other questions or comments, missing concerns?
Maybe this is Danilo, CMS. One thing in your slide of what could be done, and you mentioned the reverse proxies in front of machines that stay with CC7 and exceptions for security. One thing that I would like to stress is that CMS is very, very stretched in terms of person power. So I would not count on additional effort invested for coping with this change of OS. So we really would like to have IT providing a stable solution for us.
Well, the point is that we would be providing a stable solution. But if you've got infrastructure that is running at an end of life and it's not exempted from IT security, then the onus is on you and it's not on IT.
No, just saying is that, I mean, we are dealing with a situation where person power is precious and not much work will be doable. That's it.
So for Atlas, referring to slide 15, we also need a decision as soon as possible. We can keep running with CC7, but to plan for the migration, we need the decision in the next few months, really. Again, for lack of person power. Thanks.
Okay, and from me, essentially, just to clarify, in case Linux support decides to continue building security updates from the long-term support releases, this would actually remove the necessity for the security team to okay hosts, or would also remove the this pushing of responsibilities back to the machine owner, would it? So you completely would assume the security updates for these operating systems?
I think that's a fair assumption, yes.
Okay.
Well, with the caveat that the experiments don't update regularly anyway. So even if we were building new releases, if the experiments don't install them, then there's nothing else we could do.
Correct. But that means actually they would not actually have to look for additional security around their machines as long as you provide the updates, and at least in theory, they can simply install them anytime they like.
Yeah, but in many cases, they only update the machines the beginning of the year. So if we release new packages in summer, it doesn't make any difference. They're not going to install them.
Correct, but this doesn't change to the situation that we have currently. And so there's nothing special about the LTS period in that.
No, I mean, yeah, it would allow us to actually, for those nodes which need access from GPN, it would allow us to actually update those nodes only and only for security patches which would be provided. And this would indeed alleviate the exemptions.
That's true. I think this is a topic that we need to raise internally with IT to see if we can get management backing on this. This is not a decision that myself or the Linux team can make the decision. It needs to come from higher up in IT management.
Okay, I have two questions. I think I asked them at the previous meeting as well, in probably a different form. Is it clearer now if CentOS Stream 9 will arrive before the EL9 release, Red Hat Enterprise Linux 9 release, as it is supposed to be upstream to EL9? This is the first question. And the second, is the picture more clear related to the external repositories like EPL? Will all the packages that are currently in EPL 8 be rebuilt into EPL next or not? Do we need to make ourselves a list with these packages that we need from EPL or not? Thank you.
So both of your questions are questions that we don't really have the answers to because they're outside of our control. Stream 9 should be released before RHEL 9, yes. And EPL is still an unknown at this point. I would assume that Apple Next will be sufficient in terms of the packages available in Apple 8, but it's to be seen.
Okay.
I have a question more related to your option 4, I think, on your slide for migrations. I don't remember the slide number. You mentioned that this is a, if you want, a golden one, because it allows you not to be in a period with no support. I'm just a little bit worried about the CS8 to EL8 jump, because CS8 will be moving forward quite rapidly. This is something that will get updates very frequently. And then we're going to jump onto an EL8, which potentially moves the kernel back, potentially moves back on certain packages that we may have come to rely on newer versions for, or something like that. So that one, although I understand the slide, does cause a little bit of worry in my mind.
I understand. I think there's probably a caveat which I didn't mention here, that this would have to be a tested migration path. And as we don't have an Enterprise Linux 8 distribution ready at CERN, we don't have that testing done.
So I guess a follow-up question is, what's the status of discussions with Red Hat on being able to use Red Hat Enterprise Linux 8, for example? Because this would allow us to start now with that and then move to EL8, whatever that may be, at a later stage, which probably a lot less of an impact.
Sure. So I think I'll continue my presentation then to answer your question, which is what next? So we're currently waiting on Red Hat to release details on this low cost, no cost academic licensing scheme, as they've already released two such schemes previously. We have been in close discussion with Red Hat explaining the CERN use case, but not just the CERN use case, the use case for the wider HEP community as well. And they understand that it's not CERN specific, that it needs to fit many different sites. They have stated that they will release this scheme by quarter two of 2021. So within the next few months. Apart from that, we don't have any further details of what it may entail, what will be the caveats associated with it. But I don't think it's feasible to use that across all use cases and sites. It'll probably be useful for Oracle and WinCCOA, as those are commercial softwares that will tie in nicely with a commercial operating system. The reason why I say I don't think it's feasible to use across all use cases is with the current Red Hat licensing schemes, there's hoops to jump through to register the systems to the Red Hat network. So every host needs to be registered. And I don't think that will be logistically possible for a site like CERN. Maybe I'm wrong, but this is just my opinion going forward. We're also waiting what's happening in the Rocky Linux community. There's meant to be the first release next week. But the question needs to be asked, will this momentum continue long term? And can CERN and perhaps Fermilab contribute to becoming a backup with Rocky Linux, so that if the community does disband, we still know and can continue to build Rocky Linux releases? So did that answer your question, Mark?
Yep, I think that answers it for the moment. Yep, thanks.
So if I just continue to the last slide, and then we can continue discussing, and I think that needs to be discussed. The takeaways from this point in time, from this Linux Future Committee meeting, is that we haven't made a decision yet for the next distribution. The options on the table are CentOS Stream 8 or 9, RHEL 8 or 9, or a RHEL 8 or 9 clone, such as Rocky or Elma. And that's what I describe as enterprise Linux. Groups that require a decision today in order to plan for run 3, I again highlight slide 10, point 4. Moving to Stream 8 is probably the best option. But as Mark mentioned, this is currently untested, but as of today, this is the best option in order to facilitate planning. So this is the end of my the presentation I have today. So I think we just use the rest of the time we have to discuss anything that's not clear or just general discussion.
So I just take the occasion to answer to a comment in the chat about the long periods of stability. So I think that the problem is the definition of what is long, and probably 10 years is too long. And indeed, for the next run, we are going to use software from 2013, more or less. So in our department, at the end, we, as I said before, build our own kernel, backport kernel features, build modern libraries, compilers, and so on. So at the end, yes, we use CentOS 7, but we need to manipulate it. So in general, people like long-term periods of stability until a point. And if people start to build their own components, it means that we crossed that point. So for a user in general, it's acceptable to update at each long shutdown. But the problem is the misalignment between our schedule and the Linux distribution schedule. And in my opinion, this can be solved if we have more control over the Linux distributions in use. Just my two cents.
Okay, maybe just to clarify my point, I think we're still at the moment hoping to get a common distribution across all the Linux communities that we have in CERN and actually also in the other HAP institutes. And from what I can see, actually, the experiments a long time ago actually have started branching out into using newer languages, so compilers and Python and whatnot, in their particular experiment-specific setups. And hence, they've kind of been decoupled from the obsolete stuff that we ship with CC7. If you now actually break out and actually do the same thing at the kernel level, these two movements seem totally orthogonal. So maybe we would have actually a case where instead of having one distro for the physics community and everybody else, we would be better off with actually having one of these for experiments and one of these for people doing hardware stuff, which could include some of the online people. But the implications then are that the software from the experiments would need to be rebuilt across both, for instance, so a huge pain, I guess, for the experiments. But maybe we should not try to force everybody to use exactly the same distro and instead could settle for some family of compatible distros or something like that.
Just to respond to Jan, I think one of the issues when I look back over time, and I think you will see this one immediately, is that the releases that we have are extremely long, if you want. And that's a little bit what I think was being said, is that it's basically 10 years. But because it doesn't match with the release cycle, well, the cycle of the LHC, we tend to enter this release a few years down the line, which means that then we use it for 2-3 years, and by the time we've done that, then it tends to be obsolete, if you want, also at the kernel level for some people, whereas a lot of the experiments can get away with just updating just the compilers and things like that. So indeed, I think that the problem comes from the fact that the cycles of these major releases, so what we were based on was Red Hat Enterprise, does not fit very well with the LHC cycle, and that causes some of these issues. So I agree with you that, you know, so long as it's just software, you can cope with it. When it becomes hardware, it's more difficult, and indeed compatible versions, but ones which are maybe faster updating, maybe the way ahead.
And how does this, how do you consolidate this with the experiment not being able to do upgrades during, you know, runs?
So from the experiment point of view, major upgrades during a run is difficult. And that's why I'm saying that these release cycles don't necessarily match with your LHC cycle. So if it comes out, I don't know, if, for example, something came out next year, we would say it's too late to start migrating. By the time we would be able to migrate, it would be long shutdown 3, and the release is already 3 years old. By the time you've gone through the long shutdown, you've got added 2 years to that. So now you're at least 2 years. So you're now at 5 years, and you're starting a run with something which is 5 to 6 years old, and you have to run for 3 years. So you've got something which is basically 10 years old at the end of your run that you've used this new machine, this new operating system. So this is, I think, the discrepancy that we have. Upgrading during a run is difficult because it can be quite a major piece, and it's not just the infrastructure people that need to do migrations. It's also all the sub-detectors, which may not have the manpower to do major upgrades during a run.
Yeah, would you like to read your comment on that or talk about that?
So Federico, again, I'm profiting for other questions then. So at the beginning of the presentation, you, Ben, said that we will stay with RPM-based distributions because it's too much to migrate all the software that we have to something else like DEB or IPK or whatever other format. There is an estimation of this work because, as far as I know, it's more dummy work. I mean, it takes a lot of time, but it's not very complex. So I'm wondering if there is some estimation of how much it would take to migrate everything to a different format, out of curiosity.
Out of curiosity, I haven't spent time to work that out. I know that, for instance, when we had CentOS Linux 8, and we had to rebuild packages from CentOS 7 to CentOS 8, it was a significant effort that took months just for the CERN-provided packages that we have. And this is within the same package distribution format. So it's hard to quantify how much work it would be to move to a Debian package format, for instance. All to say that it would be a lot of work.
But we also have several comments already of people from the experiment saying that they do not have extra manpower to devote to this. So I don't think asking them to switch to Debian is realistic.
Yeah, that's fine. It's just my curiosity. But when you speak about a lot of effort, do you mean in fixing software incompatibilities to repackage properly the software, or it's really about the package description, so the spec file in itself that needs to be changed and adjust?
No, it's usually the software itself.
Concerning the request from Piotr, for Alice, the decision has been taken to move to CS8.
Thanks a lot.
Also for ST, I believe actually at least the Ceph team has decided to go for CS8 due to required features in the new kernels.
To be precise, the Alice FLP, Alice Online, which is the synchronous data taking part of the data. So there are other parts of Alice which tend to go towards CS8, but the decision has not been taken yet.
Yeah, a comment from Winston CCOA in Alice, it is a little bit out of scope because as far as I know, the DCS detector control system uses Windows 2019 server anyway for all the installations. So it will not have an impact on validation of WinCCOA 3.18 on CentOS 8.
Oh, Piotr? Yes, it does, because the even though the servers are running on Windows, the clients will run also on Linux.
Okay, that's something new for me. Thank you a lot. I will follow up with Peter. Thanks.
Peter already said that for him it's not an issue, but better follow me up.
Good, thanks a lot.
Okay, do we have any more questions or should we wrap up this meeting?
Hi, Ben. I have a question.
Sure, go ahead.
In slide 10, what does prevent the use of Enterprise Linux, I mean Red Hat Enterprise Linux, as of now, or having to wait, according to the slide, to the second part of 2022?
Licensing. This is talking about the use case across the majority of CERN. So as it stands today, to run RHEL 8, you need a license per host. And we have licenses per host for some database services, for instance, but it's not usable across the site.
Okay, but in terms of support and integration, there is nothing limiting the deployment already if you have the license.
That is correct, yes. If you have the license and you have systems that you want to migrate to RHEL 8, then that is a supported operating system from CERN IT. It's just you need the license.
Okay, thank you.
So following the question from Ignacio, about licensing, it means that if we decide to go for Enterprise Linux, then IT will pay the license for all deployments at CERN and experiments, or each of sector, department, Excel, group. So at whatever level, we have to buy our own license to run our systems.
No, Enterprise Linux means either the paid version of Red Hat with a licensing scheme that is favorable to CERN, which Red Hat is in the process of creating. It may not be favorable to CERN, or Enterprise Linux can mean a rebuild of Red Hat Enterprise Linux, which wouldn't be tied to a license. This would be a community version, like what CentOS Linux was until they changed the end of life. And the distributions which are most promising in this regard is Rocky Linux and Alma Linux. But we do not plan on paying Red Hat more money than what we currently do.
So could we quickly recap a little bit on the timescales? Because so what you had on your slide 19 was that we're waiting for Red Hat for details on the no cost academic licensing, and waiting to see what comes of Rocky Linux, for example. So those we should have more news, I would say, by the second half of this year. June, July, something like that. Would that be reasonable assumption?
That's correct, yes.
So could the part on your slide that you're showing now, which is slide 10, could EL8 be available maybe earlier than mid next year? Or could we think of doing something with Red Hat for a year or so to bridge the gap between what we have today and what we may have as EL8 mid next year?
You're right, potentially. The time scale here is an estimate, and it's not fixed because we don't know the future. Maybe we can make a decision and move forward with Red Hat much quicker than expected and have something in production before the end of the year. But I can't say that for sure, and that's why I've put a conservative time limit here, a time scale of the second half of 2022.
Okay. So the idea would be that we reconvene this group, I would say, when we have more news. Is that your assumption today?
Yes, as we haven't had any further concerns or new concerns raised, I think that's the next logical step forward.
Okay, thanks.
Hi, thank you. No, I have a question for the desktops. So I guess the recommendation for is to switch to Stream 8, correct?
Stream 8 is not currently fully supported, but it will soon be. So going forward, yes, that should be fine. Oh, we have LockMap running on Stream 8, so you can continue using the same tooling that you were using on CentOS 7 and CentOS Linux 8.
Right. So for, okay. No, it's just to have an idea of what we should assume to support in terms of clients and stuff like this. So we could focus on the 8 versions and then it's something,
Yep.
Thank you.
Know if there is something in the works for upgrading from Stream 8 to Stream 9 and so on in place without the need of a reinstall, like Fedora has right now, Ubuntu has right now, since the releases are going to be tighter, I mean closer to each other, this might be something that would help user to adopt Stream.
The question was actually asked during the Red Hat Q&A during the HEPIC session. And Red Hat's response was, it might be possible. So they haven't committed to that, but I think they're working towards having that as a feature.
That would be great. Thanks.
One word on that. They already said that between 7 and 8, and they said they have an open source project called Leap that can be used by user to make that happen. So just to set the expectation right, this is very well based on the will of people contributing to the Leap project.
Excellent, thank you.
Okay, well, if there's no other questions, I think we can probably wrap up. So as confirmed with Mark before, we'll now be waiting for a response from Red Hat and analyze if their offer or if their scheme would be suitable for certain use cases. We'll be checking to see what happens with the Rocky Linux release. And I think we need an action item on CERN IT to discuss the potential of rebuilding extended lifecycle support packages from RHEL 7 to release them internally. Thus allowing CC7 to be a distribution to last the entirety of run 3. So I think with that, we'll close the meeting, and thank you for coming.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks, bye.
Thank you, bye.
Thank you, bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye, thank you.
Bye. Bye.